Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
High noon! Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Tier Tuesday. Check out the tiers at Jones and Keefe. Keefe21. Jones WEEI on Twitter and Instagram. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday at high noon. And he's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you, boys?
Oh, we're doing great.
Excellent.
I was reading your latest at NBC Sports Boston. The reaction of the Patriots' quote-unquote lucky win is more evidence of how far they've come. It wasn't the cleanest win. It was an ugly win for the Patriots, but they win anyway. They're 7-2. I guess, how do you square away those two feelings?
That it wasn't, that they were due for a game in which their quarterback did not play like a god, and he didn't, and they suffered a couple of injuries, and they made a critical mistake, and they didn't play brilliantly on offense in the second half. So how I square it is just to say, when you look around the league, as we all do, and I'm not telling anybody anything to anyone that they don't know, but you just see an avalanche of surprise results. And the Patriots have been able to keep their hands at 10-2 and take care of business in a very efficient way, and in a way that you just don't expect a team that outright sucked for 2 years plus to do. So I look at it and say, yeah, you got to clean that stuff up. It's not what you're looking for. But on the other hand, too, to say, if you do that, you're not going to win in January. Well, holy crap, we're talking about January. I mean, that shows how far they've come.
Well, yeah, and then that also, for me anyway, changes how I look at today. Trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock. You know, a month or two ago, it would be like, you know, whatever, like see where they're at. But they're 7-2. The AFC seems to be pretty wide open. What should they do in your mind between now and 4 o'clock?
It's interesting. I thought that Mike Vrabel's comments on the Greg Hill Show yesterday were really telling in saying that he doesn't believe that being 7-2 should alter their approach in the least, because it is only 9 games into a regime that he hopes lasts for a long time. That said, you have to be opportunistic and understand situational personnel as opposed to situational football. And I think that they do, but you shouldn't say, well, it's early here. We don't want to put too much on trying to win games in 2025 because we're, you know, this is found money. I don't necessarily agree with that. And I would say pass rusher, which we've spoken about, is a primary need, as is running back. You can't go around with, you know, perhaps a turf toe situation that could linger for Ramondre Stevenson and just Terrell Jennings and Travion Henderson as your back. So those are absolute must-haves. And then I've said tight end and wide receiver, because I think the offense certainly needs more depth. You know, you lose Mac Hollins, for instance, for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, who does his job? You lose one of your receiving tight ends. Does Jack Westover kick from being a fullback into a competent tight end to replace Hooper or Henry or make everybody move up the chain? And then I would also, you know, look at those two spots. And then I think, you know, cornerback, you could always use some.
So you mentioned a wide receiver in there, along with some of the needs for the team. You're a Jakobi Meyers fan, if I'm not mistaken. He goes for a fourth and a 6th-round pick to the Jaguars in the playoff mix in the AFC. Would you have done that? Should the Patriots have done that?
Yeah, I said yesterday that I would have done. My limit was a fourth. That would be my price point. I hate the term price point, mm-hmm, as opposed to just a price. But that would have been my price point if I was the Patriots. I wouldn't part with any first, second, or third round picks for guys who might be temps, but I definitely believe that Jacoby Myers would have been a really good target. You already have a mess of sixth and seventh round picks. You have 11 picks. So I would have done that deal, even on a rental basis, because you talk about somebody who the team knows, who Josh McDaniels knows, who is a non-problem in the locker room. And I think the Patriots, you know, kind of missed the boat on Jacoby Myers.
Well, I was going to ask, so why do you think they weren't in? Or why, or, you know, maybe they were in but didn't land him. Why do you think they weren't willing to pay the freight?
Yeah, I mean, they must have just thought it was too rich. It's as simple as that. I mean, there's a point at which they say, we're not doing that. Now, you and I are not working for NFL teams, so we look at these picks and say, well, what do you get for a sixth-round pick? And they can say, well, DeMario Douglas or Kayshawn Booty. We can't just give them away. But we've also seen second-round picks just set fire to on a regular basis around here. So there is no reason to push away from the table unless you feel that that's not worth it for a rental and you don't have great confidence that you could re-sign him.
Well, you mentioned Kayshawn Booty in there, and he left the game early. He gave an update on his Discord about his hamstring. So, you know, he may be out for a week or two. We'll see what happens with him. But it looks like there'd probably be more playing time for Kyle Williams. And by no means am I writing this guy off for his career, but it just doesn't really seem like anything's clicking with him this season.
No, and I expected that kind of watching him during preseason. I just didn't feel like he was – I didn't think he was bad. Mm-hmm. I just – you know, it's get in where you can fit in, and it's hard to fit in with this group right now. I mean, Booty's a better player than he is. He's bigger, stronger. He's certainly not faster, but, you know, DeMario Douglas has played well. They gave him every opportunity, and once – you know, it hit critical mass, he started to produce. So to me, it's more a byproduct of not that they have the greatest receivers in the world and they can't crack the lineup, but you want to, when the team is doing well, continue to run the same guys out there. Will he play well when he's out there? From everything we've been told, from draft experts and people who covered college football, I remember talking to Bruce Feldman. He is absolutely one of his favorite players in the draft, you know, from SI. And he just the Athletic, excuse me. And he just loves the ability and the style of play that Kyle Williams has. So whether it's Kyle Williams, you know, and he will eventually have the light go on the way it does for so many players, I think this is an opportunity for him, but I wouldn't say he's going to go off either.
Yeah. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every week at high noon on a Tuesday. We call it Tommy Tuesday. Let's get to our Drake take, Tom, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Now, we've spent most of this win streak, now six in a row, you know, praising Drake May, MVP candidate, et cetera, et cetera. What do you see, maybe even specifically in Sunday's game, that would give you pause believing that this team could go on a deep run, given the way that Drake has struggled with some turnovers, some fumbles, the sacks he's taken? Is there something where you look at and go, maybe he's not quite ready to put this team on his back and go on a run?
Nope. Nothing from Sunday would seem to me to be a barrier or an obstacle to them winning in terms of, well, if they didn't have Drake May, things would have gone better there. I really just don't see us being in a position on some January Monday talking about that. Even the sacks. If you look at last week, the six sacks, those were legitimate Myles Garrett penetrating, taking Drake May down 7 or 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. These six sacks this past game, they were sacks. They were quarterback looking to throw and then going to the ground. But a couple of them were when he said, you know what, nothing down there, I'm going to run. And he makes a little yardage and he gets near the line of scrimmage and gets taken down. It's like a 1 yard loss if you're a running back. So I'm not excusing it, but we don't, you know, I know some people say, well, that's on Drake. Well, why? Because he didn't want to throw it into a team meeting. Sometimes you end up, I would rather see him tuck it and take a small loss than him force it into someplace because he's afraid to get hit or too indecisive and standing there, you know, doing a crossword puzzle trying to figure out what's going on. So I just think he's, and the last thing I'll say, Jonesy, reply to that is to have the fumble he did, which was obviously no good, and then to have the pick, which was airmailed, and then to play with the confidence that he did afterwards and the resiliency. Didn't get pissed when Kyle Williams appeared to run the wrong route. Didn't get flummoxed when kind of a questionable play call, flipping it out to the left for the screen to Travion Henderson that ended a drive. He was unfazed. And for us to be saying in November how unflappable Drake May is, when we spent the end of last year and the summer wondering if he was going to have enough poise to play okay, is a huge jump.
You know, if they don't add a running back today, Tom, can they go the rest of the year with just Henderson and Jennings maybe for the next couple of weeks? And then if Stevenson does come back from the toe injury, just go with those guys. Henderson had a season-high 14 carries this past week. He's not – even in college, you know, he's another one of these running backs that split time. So he was never like a big, you know, volume runner. So if they don't add a running back, like what would happen then?
Yeah, I think then you start to look at other teams' practice squads. You start to look at veterans who might be, you know, on the street and bring them in. They like Terrell Jennings. They really do. And, you know, the woods are full of running backs who have had their opportunities blocked elsewhere, who end up going to a team and finding an opportunity with who they are. And you're like, wow, that guy just ran for 107 yards. Didn't see that coming. Not saying that they're on the cusp of having a guy come in and do that, but I think that all different avenues will be explored, including practice squad guys and familiarity. But again, running back and pass rusher today are their main priorities. Hearing prices are high, but if I don't know what the price is, that's a subjective opinion from somebody as to whether the prices are high or not. If you want a running back and somebody says, give me a 6th-round pick for, you know, a mid-tier running back who might not be a starter, if your need is such, cough it up. Cough it up. Give it to him.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I mean, Jalen Phillips at the top of the pass rush market, I'd imagine, yeah, or close to it anyway, was only a 3rd-round pick. So that's interesting that you're hearing prices are high.
Relatively, you know, I mean, what does that mean? High for what? You know, higher than 1st and 2nd rounders? I can't imagine. I mean, you look at what Duggar took and Keelan White took. Those are 2nd-round picks who've shown ability, at least Duggar has, in the league. Jalen Phillips, we're not going to be talking about 4th-round picks in most cases. It looks like 5th and 6th and stuff like that.
What'd you think of Clapgate? What'd you think of the Falcons crying about the simulated snap count and Vrabel's response, I guess?
I was embarrassed for him. I mean, truly embarrassed. You get 65,000 people in the stadium, and then you got a center or whoever it was who came back to the sideline and goes, somebody clap. That's what happened out there. Mommy, they cheated. I'd be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to go back to the sideline and say that. It's like, you know, you heard somebody, again, I'll use a golf analogy. Did somebody move when I was swinging? I thought I heard somebody blink. Shut up. You hit it in the woods because you stink.
Yeah, that one's on them. Now, this season's been going great, 7-2. No one's going to apologize for, you know, an easier schedule. That's the nature of the NFL. You're a last-place team 1 year, you get a last-place schedule. But this week is one of those games that we have kind of circled at Tampa Bay. One of the, you know, top 8 teams in the NFL probably. Like, this is a signature game. What are you looking forward to seeing on Sunday?
Can they continue to maintain this kind of composure and poise that they've shown? I mean, they've gone on the road, and yes, they went on the road to Tennessee and New Orleans, but they also went to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And they have everyone's attention now. Buffalo, I think they were a curiosity. Now they are more than a curiosity. Tampa has had a week off now as well to get healthy and ready. So Tampa's good. Baker Mayfield is a very good player, as we know, and they play some cutthroat defense. So I look at this matchup this week as being, look, if the Patriots are going to have a game in which they come out a little, I just keep thinking, how long can you play not just brilliantly as they did, but at the very least very well, which is, and I'm overstating what they did on Sunday. Look, they were on the cusp of a 35-7 lead.
Oh, sure.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
It could have been 35-7. They go down, they score a touchdown, or even 31, and they score a touchdown coming out of the half. That thing is a complete blowout. So they vastly outplayed the hell they play?
Atlanta. The first half, yeah.
They vastly outplayed Atlanta, and they vastly outplayed Pittsburgh, which that's the reason I was casting about for the name. They vastly outplayed Pittsburgh in a game they lost. I mean, they could certainly, Am I an idiot if I finish this sentence and say they could be 9-0?
They could be.
Sure.
They also could be.
Well, I mean, they're definitely
they could
not.
Be. No, they're not. They're 7-2, but
5-4 or whatever, too. Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders and the Steelers, for sure, they could have won those games.
But. Yeah, and they were, I don't know, kind of fortunate to win the Miami game.
Right. Yeah, right. Bills game, they could have lost. They could have lost to Atlanta. I mean, if you could play that game both ways. But no, they could, yeah, they sure, could be 9-0, yeah. Sure.
So it's the way they played, though. I mean, it's just their standard operation is to be a very good football team. And when you go from being a very bad football team for such an extended period, and then magically you're that much better, it's natural to wonder, how long can this go on?
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's Tommy Curran. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston, how far the Patriots have come since the offseason. You can follow him on Twitter at Tommy Curran. You can check him out Thursday on WEEI Afternoons and every Tuesday at High Noon here on Jones and Keefe. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on deadline day. He said he's hearing the prices are high.
High prices.
So this goes back to
Caprillion.
This goes back.
High pressure.
This goes back to my stance that, and I'm not saying Tom only talks to the Patriots organization, but like he covers the Patriots. I think the Patriots are putting out there, we don't want to be the Commanders. They're a cautionary tale. And this is just year one or 1.5 of a rebuild. And well, geez, the prices out there are pretty high. Like, just trying to read the tea leaves and understand which way the wind is blowing, it doesn't sound like they're going to be doing anything of consequence. And I'm okay, Keith, with just making depth trades.
No, I'm fine with depth trades.
Depth running back, depth edge rusher. Those are the same two positions Curran highlighted that Reese has highlighted. Great. Go get those guys. Use the picks you got for Peppers. Use the pick you got for Keon White. And flip those for positions of need, I think that'd be great. I'd be happy with that.
Well, because you could say the prices are high or the asking prices are high, but we know that Jalen Phillips got dealt for a third and Jacoby Myers got dealt for a fourth and a sixth. That doesn't seem outrageous to me. That seems about right for both guys.
On Myers, we've gotten a bunch of texts like this. I saw it in the Twitch chat as well.
Yeah.
Guys, it's possible the Patriots offered the same as the Jaguars. But the Jaguars are a worse team, so their picks would be higher. I guess that's possible.
Maybe.
But then what? You could have given up. And I don't mean to make the case because I don't really think they should have done this Jacoby Myers trade. But Tom likes him. And if they like him and Josh McDaniels thinks as highly of him as Tom was making it sound, you could have given up a fourth and a fifth instead of a fourth and a sixth. Like, it's not like you couldn't have topped Jacksonville's offer, and they chose not to. So I still wonder if they're like, if they don't fully believe in themselves. Like, I still wonder if
they're... Or the other way, with the receivers specifically, maybe they believe in the receivers.
That's fair. I just think doing nothing at the trade deadline, Myers would be an example, but you're right about the receiver room. Maybe that's a sign they believe in their receiver room. Inaction at the deadline. Subtracting at the deadline would lead me to believe...
Yeah, I don't love that.
Deep down, they don't fully believe. And, oh, by the way, don't be the Commanders. You don't want to be the Commanders in the NFC title game last year.
Yeah, you don't want
be
your
them.
Quarterback and your best receiver being hurt. Yeah. That's the lesson from the Commanders. But I would say you could almost take it by position basis, right? So if they don't add a receiver, and they don't add a receiver like Jacoby Myers, then maybe they... It's not even the picks that they're afraid of giving up. It's just, do they really want to bring in that player to this group? Whereas I don't see the excuse for running back. I don't see the excuse for even safety. A lot of people are talking up edge rush, but it's more so just if Landry or Chasen get hurt. You want to prepare yourself there.
Your top two there are fine, but yeah, do you want
After
a little bit
that,
of depth?
You want to be like, oh man, we had a chance to upgrade that and we chose not to.
Did I say Peppers? I meant Duggar. I'm sorry. Text line says
either
I was saying Peppers. But you do need help with
safety. Steelers safety.
Yeah, I mean, turn around and use those picks you got.
Yeah,
and don't tell me that you know you can't rebuild because you got some extra sixth round picks and you turn around and flipped them. Like, I think you could still rebuild and you could still contend this year and you could do both. You don't have to pick.
We need some more deals. We got no trades going on.
Yeah, what, we just had the Myers trade?
We've had one trade, although that was a big trade.
Big one.
I mean, we know who that guy is.
Well, stay ready over there, Billy.
Because
you never
Always.
Know when trades are going to come out of nowhere here on deadline day. 617-779-7937. We have more thoughts on the latest deadline buzz as it relates.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
It's the Patriots. Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing the trade deadline. Patriots are always looking to add quality players, which I understand that logic. And he even mentioned the practice squad in there. They signed Jerry Rice's kid.
Hell yeah.
Brendan Rice from the Chargers practice squad, or that's where he was previously. He was a seventh round pick a year ago. So that's another body in here, which maybe that's a bad sign for Kayshon Booty and his ability to suit up this week. Vrabel told us, and we'll play it for you coming up. He's probably not going to do much early on this week. It'll be an opportunity for Kyle Williams, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I get what he's saying, and I understand it. Look, trade deadline's no different than every other day. We're always constantly evaluating the roster, and we're always looking at how we can improve, and we're doing that every single day. I get that. This is your last opportunity to make a trade. And while today, Keith, we've been a little underwhelmed, right? The Cowboys acquired Logan Wilson overnight.
Yep.
And then we had the Jacoby Myers trade last hour. There have been, I'd say, a lot of activity and a lot of moves at this deadline. The Eagles made three just by themselves.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of players have moved. Let's not pretend like players aren't moving. And this is your last opportunity to make a trade. In fact, you've made two of them, and you took away from your team. You haven't added yet. So you can always sign players. You can always bring in more guys off the scrap heap, practice squad players, etc. This is your last opportunity to make a trade. I would hate to see them sit it out in a year where they're 7-2 and at the top of the AFC.
Yeah, Schefter kind of broke down even the last month, you know, trades, right? So not necessarily the trade deadline day trades, but going all the way back to Joe Flacco, he has a whole bunch of trades on here. Obviously, the Patriots themselves have already made two. John Mechie trade, there was that one, the wide receiver going to the Jets. Obviously, Jacoby Myers and Jalen Phillips. Draymond Jones, another one that just went to Baltimore.
And he would have, did he play for, he was with Tennessee. Did he play for Vrabel in Tennessee? I don't know.
Actually, I don't know the answer to that. Michael Carter, you mentioned all these, you know, Jair Alexander, all these Philadelphia trades, so they've been very busy. There was that weird Jacksonville-Cleveland trade where they switched corners. So teams have been somewhat active. And I would say all those players, not all of them, some of those players are like B-minus type players. So there's no stuff. We haven't seen A.J. Brown or Trey Hendrickson or, you know, Myles Garrett get traded. But these are guys that are all going to playoff potential, or for some teams, like for sure playoff teams, and are going to help them.
And again, you know, the Jaguars got better today, and that's an AFC playoff team as of right now. So some teams are doing that. And I'm not kicking and screaming they didn't get Jacoby Myers. I like their receiver room, especially if you're telling me Booty is going to miss a week or two and he's back. I like their receiver room. I don't think Jacoby Myers upgrades it substantially. I'd rather they use the fourth round pick on something else. But they should do something. And if they don't, and all they're doing is peeling off pieces, maybe Anthony Jennings is another piece that goes out today, then I don't think they fully believe in their team this year. I think they like the path they're on, and I think they feel good about their rebuild and the direction they're going, but they're not giving up late-round picks to try to help them this year. I think that means deep down they don't fully believe in it, because a sixth-rounder does nothing for you this year. A fifth-rounder does nothing for you this year. That's next year, and that might get you a quality player in the meantime. Jeff is in the car with a question for us. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Hold on one second. I got to take you off speaker.
All right. Great. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate that.
We'll just wait until you're ready.
How we doing? You got us off speaker? So, great.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Keith, welcome to Derry, by the way.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know if you guys had a particular player in mind, because it seems to me like they're going to conservatively end up 12-5, right? And be a playoff team.
Well, maybe. If they lose the three quote unquote difficult games left, Bucks, Ravens, Bills, that would get them to 12-5. That assumes they don't trip up against anybody else. But I get your point. Yeah.
Breece Hall for me, Jets running back, Breece Hall.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you think that'll put them through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl with that addition?
I mean, I wouldn't make them the favorite or anything like
that.
I think that gives it put a real push forward towards that. I mean, that seems like a position of need. And he's a really good player.
So, Jeff, you think if they don't make a trade that makes them the slam dunk favorite to win the Super Bowl, they shouldn't make a trade?
Yeah, I think if they don't make a trade, they'll still be in the playoffs and they'll do fairly well. They've done fairly well so far.
Okay, like, we're talking about the difference between fairly well and maybe going and winning it or going on a run.
This isn't them making a deal today
is not going to keep them in or out of the playoffs. Like, they're in, I think, regardless.
They're a playoff team independent of what they do today. Agreed. Yeah. This would potentially raise their ceiling.
But we talk about this with all the sports, and they're all a little bit different, but just the way you look at it, like, any little bit helps, and now's the opportunity to do it. And, yeah, you can always wait for – find, like, a practice squad or, a street free agent or something like that. You know, in the NBA, you miss the trade deadline, there's always the buyout. Maybe you get, like, a P.J. Brown or, like, something along those lines. But right now you have until 4 o'clock to make a trade. Then you can't after that. So you might as well just give yourself the best chance possible. And for me, it's Breece Hall. If you want to give me another running back that's better than like a practice squad guy or better than a guy that's just going to get cut, because I know that is a position that, you know, you can find guys. You can find the diamond in the rough and he shows up and has a great literal run for 2 months. But I think somebody like Breece Hall would be great. And I think that's a position that is like legitimately plug and play. Like some of the other ones might be, take a little bit of nuance. Oh, you missed all this time with the team. It might take a little while to get ready. I mean, if he can pass block even just a little bit, he'll be on the field immediately.
How about this text? We mentioned it yesterday. Graziano brought it up in his column about some of the names they could be looking at running back and elsewhere. Text line says, watch out, Tony Pollard to the Pats incoming.
I'll take it. I'll take Tony Pollard. That's another one.
And again, am I giving up a drastic amount for Tony Pollard? No.
And you shouldn't have to.
But as much as I like what I actually really like what I've seen out of Travion Henderson the last couple of weeks, I feel like they didn't use him enough in the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
But then Jennings was also fine and got in the end zone, so I expected more usage out of Henderson, but I like what I've seen the last couple of weeks. There's promise there. Stevenson, I think, in theory, is coming back to your receiver room. Jennings looked fine. So maybe you have enough there, but yeah, throw Tony Pollard into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the other names he mentioned. Jerome Ford, Jalen Wright, I'm less keen on them. But what about Chuba Hubbard, if he's available in Carolina? They commit to Rico Dowdle. Like, I think you could go make a move like that, and it might not make you the odds-on favorite or a lock to win the Super Bowl, but why not improve your depth and give yourself and Pollard would be more than that, but why not improve your depth, add more bodies to the room, give yourself more margin for error in a year where you're truly in the mix for a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, I'd hate to see they sit out the deadline, they even subtract an edge rusher like Anfernee Jennings, which I think is in play today.
Yeah.
And then what? You end up having an injury to Harold Landry or Kalavon Chasen, and now you've traded away Keon White and Anfernee Jennings, and you could use an edge rusher.
Yeah.
Like, that would be frustrating for a team that's 7-2 and might win 11, 12, 13 games this year. That would be real frustrating.
I'm looking up a handful of, like, running back trades over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm
so
sure they're all for, like, sixth-round picks.
Tank Bigsby went for a fifth and a sixth. Brian Robinson went for a sixth. Jordan Mason went for a fifth, and then they switched sixth. Khalil Herbert went for a sixth. Cam Akers went for a sixth. Joe Mixon went for a seventh. So, and those are all guys that, like, can play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that seems like a bare minimum type of move today.
One more real quick just to answer his question. Bradley Chubb would be high on my personal list. And I don't think it's the biggest position of need, but if the Dolphins are blowing things up, and I don't know if they want to make a trade with you in the division, your guy is also a player in the AFC East, Keith, in Breece Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But I make it worth their while for a player like Bradley Chubb. If you want a name from me, that would be one. Although I think running back, safety, offensive line might be moving up the charts the way Onwenu's played recently. 617-779-7937. What should the Patriots do at today's trade deadline, 4 o'clock? Make sure you're listening live to WEEI Afternoons. Right up until the deadline today, they'll have you up to speed. We'll break any news in the meantime, should it come down, like that Jacoby Myers trade earlier today. Scott's in Weymouth. Hello, Scott.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Good afternoon. I believe we're after 12, are we not?
We are. Yeah, 12:35.
Where we are.
Eastern time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Hey.
Scott, real quick.
Are you flying a kite?
What are you, out? Are you in the Gulf of Weymouth? Where are you? What's going on?
What's happening?
Scott, we cannot possibly do that. Stay on hold and get somewhere with,
start.
I'd say, at least 50% less wind.
Yeah.
And that would cut it down to maybe tolerable.
Yeah, good day for a kite.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cody's in Connecticut. Hello, Cody.
Cody.
Hey, I think we need a running back and we need a defensive edge rusher. We got rid of White. We need an edge rusher, big time.
Got it.
Think we need a good running back. I say we go for Dowdle or we go for Chuba Hubbard over there.
Okay, so I don't think Dowdle's getting moved. Maybe Chuba Hubbard is a name that Graziano
maybe
brought
Chuba
up.
But they might be too good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the Panthers, not that we think they're very good, but the Panthers are 5-4, aren't they? So they might say, well, why would we trade away?
They might not be
Chuba
big buyers.
Also just signed a 4-year deal. There is an out after
I was
next
say,
season.
He has a pretty minimal guarantee for next year. It's $4.5 million guaranteed for next year.
He's not great. But if you're also looking at it where, like, shouldn't they just try to target somebody better than Terrell Jennings? And, like, no shot at him, but, like, at least go there. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be this huge monster splash, but it's somebody that, you know, think about it. They went into the season thinking Antonio Gibson was going to get maybe a third of the carries.
Right.
So, all right, you're still looking for someone like that.
He was one third of the Cerberus. He should get one third of the carries.
Yeah, the head's been cut off the Cerberus.
Any interest in Matthew Judon? That's another name available in Miami.
Zero.
If that costs you a seventh rounder, I'd say thanks, but no thanks.
Keep that seventh.
Yeah.
You never know when you can use it.
And I think Jakobi Meyers, for as much as he fits on the field and Josh McDaniels knows him, I said this earlier, he's been squawking about a contract in Vegas. Patriots have plenty of cap space. They could give it to him if they want, but I just wonder how bought in and invested he's going to be, because he was not bought in or invested at all. Admittedly, on a bad Raiders team this year, but I think a lot of that was about a contract push, which made me leery as well. Mm-hmm. Mark is in New Hampshire. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hey, guys. I want to comment on the Jakobi Meyers thing. Like, you know, everyone's talking about an edge rusher. You know, I get it. I mean, you know, you're not getting Khalil Mack. No, not going to happen. So what I think they really need, because I believe that Drake May has proved that he can go five wide, I want to see them get a receiver, because then they can start doing the five wide formations because of his arm talent and his ability.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what I got.
Keith, you must love that.
I am all for five wide.
That's your offense.
You have five receivers out there. That's all I do in college football.
Isn't that what you run at East Carolina?
That's damn right. Spread them out. Chuck it deep. Throw a lot of picks, but that's all right.
How many sacks you taking with no one in there blocking?
A lot.
Amount? Yeah, high amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a problem. It's has not gone great this year. I may need to change my strategy, but yeah, I like to just chuck it all over the place. Oh, yeah, like Mike Leach. Bring Mike Leach in. The late, great Mike Leach. Have him call your offense.
Air raid.
They don't really ever go five wide on this team. Even if they had five great receivers, I don't think they want to take one of the running backs or even one of their tight ends off the field that often, let alone no tight ends, no backs. So, I mean, I'm not anti bringing in a receiver, but.
What? Didn't we get a formation call a while ago about, like.
Probably.
No, but it was like something was about.
The
like,
flex bone?
It was like four tight ends. Or like, didn't we get like a crazy call like that in the early
14 person?
No, in the early days of Jones and Keefe, didn't we get?
Oh, maybe. And then I explained to you the offense my coach tried to run against Belmont Hill, which was called the Chicago spread offense,
maybe.
Which was asinine. Although I think it could have worked.
I thought we got a wild formation call. I'm wondering if that was the same gentleman.
This was it. Our offense looked like the Indianapolis Colts punt. It was like that. It was like a center, the quarterback, maybe like a tight end. And then, like, the whole line was, like, over on the left side with, like, one receiver behind that. It's chaos. We had, like, six plays out of it. It was a mess.
Dice with a good text there. I'm not sure that one's airworthy, but that's a good.
I thought the same thing.
It's a strong ex-wife tweet there, that's Dice. I see bad. It. I want you to know that I see it. I'm not sure it can be read on the air.
Saw it all right.
But I see it.
Thanks.
617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. We'll get back to the Patriots and their receiver room. Is it an opportunity for Kyle Williams? And what are we thinking exactly of that draft pick? But on the way next, it's a Tuesday at 12:45, which means it's time for the Madness. Kiefer Madness.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Smokes, welcome back to Jones and Keefe. But Jones, before you say a word,
What?
Let's go to the trade deadline desk with our very own Billy Lanny. Billy.
All right, according to Ian Rappaport, sources, the Jets are trading Sauce Gardner to the Colts
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
That is a Blockbuster.
Like the old DVD store. No, that is big time stuff. Sauce Gardner just got that massive contract that Gonzalez wants.
Yep.
And the Jets, we already put them in the seasons over tier.
This is what the Colts no longer in fake.
I was,
Colts,
this, right, what they, I, this is what I said to Keith off the air. I was like, Colts are fake good. Not we have so, to bump them up a tier now.
Yeah, we
they
do.
Got Sauce Gardner. Yeah, we might Sauce have to. Gardner,
they can move up.
That's a team. And Amend I don't know it. What it is. I thought Terp told us the return. I haven't seen that.
Put him in just a bit outside.
Okay. Well, but this is, again, this is an AFC team that says,
yeah,
well, we're 7-2. The AFC is wide open. Let's go get Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner.
And I'm not even asking for that much out of the Patriots today. But the Jags, think of them what you will, at 5-3.
Yeah.
We don't even fully believe in the Colts, or at least we didn't used to. They're 7-2, just like you are.
That's,
and they said,
serious,
let's go get a player like Sauce Gardner. Maybe the Jets wouldn't be itching to trade him here. But Sauce Gardner to the Colts, I haven't seen officially the return yet. So we'll update that, but that is a well, that's a significant move.
They'll definitely trade Breece Hall, is my other thought.
Oh,
if
yeah,
they're gonna trade Sauce Gardner, who they have locked up, yep, Breece Hall they don't have locked up.
Yeah, go scoop up Isaac Davis real quick in fantasy leagues before that trade deadline.
Get in there.
Okay.
Holy smokes. Yeah, the Colts are better today.
Yep.
I'll tell you that much.
They've already moved up a tier.
They moved up.
They've graduated a tier.
All it took was one move.
Since we did Tier Tuesday.
What, okay, did you say? You said a second round pick? I didn't see that.
I thought Terp came in and said that.
Terp says a lot of things.
I said that off the air. But yes, I think that was what I heard. Let's yeah, see. No. ESPN sources. Colts are trading 2 first-round picks. Adam Schefter just
okay
now.
Okay.
Just now.
That's
that makes
a lot
more sense.
Different. Okay, I was going to say, he just got signed. He's a young gun.
So
2 firsts.
That's a big.
I would not have done that.
No, that's a big, but they're serious. That,
no, for them, good for them.
That's a serious trade, though.
Yeah, I'm saying for the Patriots, I wouldn't have done that, but I'm saying for the Colts, no, why not?
I'm not asking for them to trade any first-round picks or second-round picks, but just add to your team. But okay, wow. It is 2 first-rounders, Adam Schefter, for Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner just tweeted, New York, it's been real. Green heart emoji. he literally just tweeted it out.
Who did I just say this about the other day? I'm like, NFL players should do what they do in the NBA all the time. Get their contract,
yeah,
and then force their way out.
Yeah.
Good move by him.
Holy smokes.
Wow. Okay.
Sauce.
More thoughts on that coming up.
Wow.
Wow, I was right.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Undeterred by setting themselves on fire, police say these bumbling bandits have been back.
A sight far from impeccable of broken car mirrors and windshield.
So this was likely a mass vulture vomiting event.
Chance.
All right, Jones, we got ourselves a story today. It's a little macabre, so it's a little late for Halloween, but this happened in Kentucky Friday. So we just missed this last week on Halloween.
Okay.
But it's kind of a messed up story in Kentucky.
Startling discovery days before Halloween, and it was not a prank.
A package delivered to a woman's house.
Okay. Package delivered to a woman's house.
Okay.
What was in the package?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What do you got?
Maybe an NFL trade?
I'm telling you, the first 2.5 hours of the show, everything was a little too quiet.
Yep.
So now things are heating up. So without further ado, let's go back to the trade desk with our own Billy Lanny. Billy.
All right. According to Tom Pelissero, trade! Exclamation point. The Saints are sending wide receiver Rashid Shaheed to the Seahawks. Sources tell me and at Rap Sheet.
All right. Rap Sheet and Pelissero working together on that one. Okay. Good job, guys.
Couldn't have broken that individually.
No. They needed to get the Shaheed scoop together.
One's talking to New Orleans.
Yeah, the other's talking to Seattle. I heard from Seattle. I heard from New Orleans. Well, it's got to be true.
A co-report.
So that's another name that's been out there. And if you wanted a wide receiver, so Myers and Shaheed both get dealt today.
Do you think he goes for more or less than Myers?
Less.
probably less. He might be better.
Same?
Yeah.
Maybe the same. I don't think much more.
So he goes to Seattle. Text line is saying.
Why does Seattle need him? They were just chucking the ball around yesterday.
Well, Cup is hurt, so I wonder if they.
Yeah,
I mean, but not that they missed JSN. Him against the Commanders.
JSN the GOAT.
Text line says, guys, you moved up the Colts. Two first round picks for Sauce Gardner. You moved them up a tier. You also need to move up the Seahawks. I'm not sure we need to move up the Seahawks based on Rashid Shaheed.
No, I'm not.
But good player. That's a good player and a good move. And another team doing something. You're not doing anything.
All right. Well, so that's that. Let's take it back to Kentucky, Jones.
Okay.
We have
not a football trade. What was in the package?
It's before Halloween, and it was not a prank.
A package delivered to a woman's house with body parts inside.
Can you even believe it? Mm. Right? Our Dryden Quigley tells us about a gruesome surprise.
Body parts, Jones.
Not great.
I'm not going to ask you what specific body parts. I'll let your imagination run wild.
Okay.
It sounds like something out of a Halloween movie, but it really happened here in Christian County. A woman says she opened up a package that was left on her porch only to find it was full of body parts.
Full.
Full. Chuck,
not
it wasn't like a loose
there.
Body part. Yeah, it was full of body parts.
Almost a whole body.
Pretty much.
Most of a body.
In parts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just in parts.
Sure.
And she opened it.
When the coroner's office got the call around 8 Wednesday night, they weren't sure if the sheriff was being serious.
Classic prank.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a box of body parts. Are you messing with us?
Are you effing
around?
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, that was me.
I think would anybody this time of year would assume that'd be a hoax. Yeah, but it wasn't.
But it wouldn't.
No, it was the real deal.
Okay.
A real deal.
So coroner Scott Daniel headed to Pleasant View to pick up the two arms and four fingers that...
Okay, that's less body parts than I thought.
They described it as quite a few, but two arms, four fingers.
What does that mean? Does that mean two arms without hands and four fingers, or is it two complete arms with the hands and fingers plus four extra fingers?
No, I think it's two arms.
Yep.
I think it's four fingers, which my guess would be six fingers, like, fell out.
No hands. Oh. There's just a trail of fingers?
Yeah, just fingers are everywhere. Somebody screwed that whole thing up,
okay.
And they had a real issue with it.
The two arms and four fingers that arrived on a woman's doorstep. He says she was expecting a delivery from that courier service, but it was supposed to contain medical supplies.
Sure it was.
Ma'am, where are the fingers?
I clicked on the wrong thing. I wanted medical supplies. I ended up with arms and fingers.
Ma'am, there's supposed to be six more of these.
Huh?
Where are these? Ma'am,
don't frisk me.
Not limbs on ice.
Takes the box inside, opens it just like anybody else would.
Oh, no.
In the box were two arms and four fingers.
All right, what's your reaction if this happens to you? You go home, you open a box, arms and fingers.
I go, Cat, let me see the credit card statement.
What did you order?
What is this?
Where'd you get these? What do we even do with these? I don't want these.
Human cadaver parts.
A newfound fear for people who say they didn't even know that body parts could be shipped in the mail.
Is now we tiered fears last week.
Yeah.
Body parts in the mail, what tier would you put them on?
Oh, low.
Eeks.
Yeah, I don't fear it. I don't necessarily love it, but I don't fear it.
I'm not requesting it.
I don't
but
want
eeks.
It. Yeah, eeks. Eeks is about right. Yeah.
So you never know. When you go home, you might see something. You're like, hopefully that's dog food, but there is a chance it is body parts.
I don't even have words. I open boxes every day.
Brag City.
Wow, that is a brag.
Brag
wow,
City.
Okay.
Every day.
Every day.
Man, it's a lot of wasted cardboard boxes, lady.
And I would just die. I would scream and run away.
Daniel, though, says this was not a typical mail service like USPS or FedEx. It was a private courier.
What does that mean?
Well,
private courier? What do they do?
Yeah, who knows where you're getting these shipments from. Yeah,
perhaps drones.
The dark web.
The body parts were supposed to be going to a medical training facility.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure they were.
That was not going.
They're trying to tamper down everybody freaking out.
Yeah,
there's no way that's
there's
going.
No black market for body parts.
Yeah.
This was going to a medical
shady
training
delivery
facility.
Place. And they dropped them off at a house? Yeah. They dropped them off at a house.
Yep.
He says it was a series of mishaps that led them here. The sheriff's office tells us that this was an accident, and now the body parts have made it to their correct destination, and the woman received her medical supplies.
Oh.
In Christian County, Dryden Quigley, WSB4.
I was wondering if she got what she actually wanted.
Everybody's been made whole.
But yeah, no, that's good. So everybody's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
Well.
Uh-huh.
Careful opening those Amazon boxes up there.
I know.
That is the madness every Tuesday, most Thursdays here on Jones and Keefe. It is also deadline day. Sauce Gardner, now a Colt, in exchange for a couple of first-round picks. Rashid Shaheed going to the Seattle Seahawks. We had Jacoby Myers traded earlier today. We'll get you up to speed on all the latest and what the Patriots are doing. Spoiler alert, nothing. That's coming your way next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.